Okay, I'm going to read some scripture. It's a long passage, but let me just give you a fair warning here. I know I went to Bible school, and I definitely don't see myself as a scholar, but there is words that you get in scripture that it's hard. I just don't. So if my wife points this out, because she sometimes likes to point things out, which is funny, then I listen to my message, and then I found out it to be true, which is kind of funny. And so one of the things I do is misinterpret words wrong. So, and for instance, I was saying, instead of saying heir to the throne, I was saying heirs to the throne last week. And which was pretty funny, because I had to say it like 3 or 4 times last week. So the heir to the throne. But here's a, it doesn't mean heir, so it means heir. And but it happens. I'm just going to tell you, I'm reading this passage of scripture, and I zoom over names, because sometimes the names are important, sometimes they are. But the story's important. And so if you can read with me, it's going to be up on the screen. It's Daniel 1, 8 through 19. I've been doing this sermon series for, what, this is the fourth week, and we're still in chapter 1. Isn't that crazy? This is how much stuff is just in here. But it's chapter 1, and this is Daniel, what became, I just want to paint this picture for you if you haven't been here. Daniel came over with his friends in the first deportation. They took all the young teenagers, the fit, the strong, and they're trying to break them down. Last week, I talked about, as they came over, they tried to change their names. So Daniel and his friends became Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they changed their names to Babylonian names because they feel like if they can change their names, they can change their identities. And so, but today, as we move forward, it says that, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself. And I love this because why this is important is because right before this verse, the master of these guys asked Daniel and his friends to sit at the king's table for supper. And Daniel and his friends refused to eat. Listen, this is what's happening. But Daniel resolved, which I love that word, resolved, we talked about the first week, was resolute. He resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion on Daniel. Isn't that cool? Can I just tell you that? That God helped bring favor. God brought favor. So he'll be okay with that. And it says, I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? He's saying, if you don't eat of our food, you're not going to get strong. If you don't eat of our food, you're going to look weaker. He says, if you don't eat of our food, you're not going to look. And the king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard of whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he said, please test your servants for 10 days. He said, for 10 days, that's all we need. You can approve it after that. We need 10 days to eat differently. Give us nothing but veggies to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance to what they see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. You guys hear what's going on? He just said, give us 10 days. We don't want to do this. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier, better nourished, and than any of the young men who have ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them veggies instead. Like, that's like one of the worst scripture verses I've ever read in my entire life. Anybody ever else? Like, if they took away your best stuff and gave you veggies, that's like worst case scenario. Like, now think about this. To these four young men, God gave knowledge. Oh, I love this. Knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Isn't that awesome? Then it says, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar, the king. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better in literature, understanding, wisdom than all the magicians, enchanters of the whole kingdom. Isn't that crazy? So think about that. After they changed their names, and they said, you can call us whatever you want to call us, but that's not our identity. And then all of a sudden, the king invited them. Now, can I just tell you this? This is where we need the Holy Spirit. Because, and this is where you need to know who you are, and this is where we need to be resolute. Because at this point, if you're asked by the king, hey, come sit at our table and eat the food that's been prepared for me, because you know it's choice food, you know it's choice meat. Daniel said, nope, not going to do that. Because can I just tell you, sometimes temptation comes and it looks appealing, but it may not be your best. It may be good, but just because it's good doesn't mean it's the best. I believe one of the greatest temptations we will ever face as spiritual people is not being tempted to do evil, but being tempted to do good things that replace the best things. Now hear me out. So Daniel gets this question saying, come eat with us. But Daniel said no, because not because the food tasted bad, it's because, here's the reason, there's two reasons. Number one, because it literally, the food and the drink they're about to have would actually go against their dietary restrictions of being an Israelite. It actually goes against who they are, who they exist. That meat, this is Babylonian, which is a pagan culture. This food wasn't offered up as a blessing to the Lord. This food was actually a sacrifice to pagan traditions. So they said in their hearts, listen, we don't want to eat this food because it's going to go against who we are as a people. It's going to go against our God, and it wasn't blessed by the Lord. And so they're saying, So Daniel and his friends politely refuse, and it actually says, it goes into more great detail in chapter 9 and chapter 10. It says not only did they only eat veggies, but they actually ate some kind of, nuts and legumes and all that kind of stuff. They said, we're not going to eat these certain things. And then the king, this is the challenge, saying, if you don't eat this stuff and this protein and stuff, you're not going to get healthy like these other people. You're not going to get it. And it says after 10 days, they actually look better. They actually look different. But before I jump into that, I love it. He says resolved. He says that I resolved. In week one, we talked about this. And I'm telling you, you got to make up your mind in 2019, moving forward, who you're going to be. Because it's interesting because you got to decide in your heart right now, what kind of person, what kind of dad, what kind of friend am I going to be? When temptation comes, what are you going to stand up against? Because I believe there's a key phrase that we need to understand, which is called pre-decisions. This is what Daniel did with his friends. In chapter 1, before he even faced the lions, before he even faced the fiery furnace, he pre-decided in chapter 1, he resolved in his heart what he's not going to do and what he is going to do. He said, this is the path I'm going to take. When opportunity for compromise came, he didn't think twice about it because he resolved. He pre-decided what he's going to do and what he's not going to do. And so he pre-decided, which means he prepared his heart before he got there. And so I believe with our heart that we need to do this. And one of the ways we do this, we make pre-decisions, is by prayer and fasting. And this is what I want to talk about today, is that I believe in our church, we need to go to another level of prayer and fasting. Not because this is what Scripture says, it's because literally we need to. I believe that God has something different for us and our families, but we need to get there. Now, I'm just going to preface this by saying, Daniel in chapter 1 doesn't go into great detail about this prayer and fasting. It mentions that he changes his diet, but it doesn't mention that he goes into great detail about prayer. But let me remind you, chapters 1 through 6 is a narrative. Chapters 7 through 12 or 13 is literally the prophetic voice, him sharing what he did. And in chapters 9 and 10, he talks about how he fasted and prayed while he was trying to thrive in Babylon. And so I'm just going to read a couple of verses for you. It says this in chapter 9, verse 3. It says, Then Daniel, I turned my face to the Lord, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. verse 10, 2 through 3 says, "At the time I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over." He talks about himself saying, "I literally sacrificed. I shut my body down so I can be more submissive to the Lord." Some people ever, you guys ever heard of a Daniel fast? That's one of the things he's talking about. The Daniel fast actually is, it's actually a fast, but it's actually, sometimes actually people use it for losing weight. It's actually a plan to think about the Lord more and plug. And so the Daniel fast is actually only the choice grains, only eating, you know, veggies and just having water and just pulling yourself away for a period of time. And so, but what I'm going to talk about today, you can do whatever you want to do, but I just want to talk about fasting for a second. Do I believe fasting works? 100%. Do I think it's weird? 100%. Because I believe it's been important in my own life. And here's why. I'm going to talk about this because when I talk about fasting, number one, fasting is, what I typically do is that there's a no food fast. And some people just have liquids or just water and juice and just stay away from the food. Now, let me preface this by saying this is not a weight loss program. It's a God-seeking program. The time that you would spend eating or preparing a meal, you spend your time preparing your heart and getting fed from the word of the Lord. I believe something begins to happen in our hearts when our, here's what happens to me. When I begin to fast and get in scripture and pray, my hunger for the word becomes more important than the hunger for the food. It brings me back to the most important thing. Now, and I've had people say, I've had my brother went on a 40-day fast, which is insane, many years ago. There's people that I know go on 3-day fasts. You know, some people go on 1-day fast or might be a meal. I don't share this very often, but I'm just going to, I feel like I need to share this today. When I was in college, it was right before January 1st. I really felt like it was my senior year, and my wife and I were dating. I think we're dating. I don't think we're married. And the Lord called me to, I felt like I got impressed to do an every other day fast. I was awful. And the reason it was so bad is because people would ask us to hang out and go for supper, and I literally had to plan it around when I was fasting or not. And my thing is this, I didn't want to brag about it. I didn't want people to know about it. We just had to work the calendar. We had to work it. I think, I don't know how many months I did that, but we did it. Here's what it taught me. It taught me to not schedule the Lord in my calendar, but schedule other people around the Lord's calendar in my own life. And maybe realize what's important. It made me prioritize a little bit different with my own calendar. But whatever it is for you, what it does is fasting creates space. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes I do believe the majority of it is food, because I think that's what consumes us. We wake up and we're hungry. In the middle of the night, we want a piece of cake. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like we think about the day, we think about appointments we have. Like, how can we do that around food or whatever? It's good to surrender that. But also for you, can I just be honest with you? Some of your challenge today, maybe it might be TV or electronics. Some of your fasting might be, you need to shut down, you know what I'm saying? Like, all that. Maybe for you, it's literally social media. I think it's really important in our culture to maybe have a fast from social media for like a month. You just get off all the social media and just unplug from that for a month or whatever it may be. But my challenge for you is this. Maybe it's your phone. Maybe you're going to decide for the next month when I get home, I turn it off and I won't even look at it until the next morning until I'm done with my devotions. I don't know what it is, but I really believe God is speaking to all of us about this next month or so. What can we do to surrender? What can we do to give up? And so it's all about creating space. But also, I believe it's something that's hard. I believe fasting is giving up something. Sacrifice is something hard you have to give up. When people say, like, it's like me saying, I'm going to fast onions for the next month. If you know me, I hate onions. So that's a joy. It's not a sacrifice. It's a joy. And so for me to give up something, but if it's hard for you to, if I'm saying right now, what do you feel like the Lord is impressing on you to do? And your first thought was, I can never do that. Maybe that's what the Lord is asking you to do. I'm not kidding either. I'm just saying, what is God speaking to you about surrendering? And so I'm just going to I just want to share about that because when I talk about fasting today, I'm not going to tell you to do something. One of the things I did a discipleship group with a bunch of teenagers when I was a youth pastor, and one of the things I said to them was I said, it's not really a fast, but what I told them, I said, I don't want you to put anything in your mouth until you read a little bit of scripture. Just pull out your phone, read a little bit of scripture, and then eat something. Because I want you to realize, I want you to be more dependent upon scripture than you are food. And I know it sounds crazy, but sometimes it's just changing the way we think. But whatever it is, our intentions with prayer and fasting, our intentions, like I said, not losing weight, but seeking the Lord. I'm just going to read some scripture verses. It's quiet in our hearts. Here's some scripture verses through scripture I find really important. Now, there's more than this, but this is what really struck me when I think about prayer and fasting. God gave Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, God gave Nehemiah, he went back, the city walls of Jerusalem were crumbling, and he went back to Jerusalem to help build it. And it says that even before Nehemiah went there, he fasted and prayed. But here's what's cool about it. Before he did anything, before he said a yes, before he did anything, he prayed and sought the Lord. And there's not many people in Scripture that have this batting average, but every prayer that Nehemiah prayed came to pass. You may be wondering, that's amazing. I think it's because he submitted, and the first thing he did was prayed. Because he wasn't looking for his heart, he was looking for the Lord's heart. I think about this when prayer and fasting. One of the craziest scripture verses is in Mark, when God sent out the disciples and to heal the sick and cast out demons and do the work, and they came back bruised and broken and beaten back to the Jesus pretty much. And he said, Mark 9:28-29, it says, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And because at that moment, they're talking about this demon that they're trying to cast out. And Jesus said a word and the demon came out. But they prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing happened. And so they're asking Jesus, you said you sent us with power. You said you sent us, but we couldn't do anything. And I love it because Jesus replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. Some translations say only by prayer and fasting. Think about that. Disciples said to Jesus, he didn't say, Lord, teach us to write sermons. Lord, teach me how to love better. Teach me how to serve my city better. Lord, teach me how to lead worship. Teach me how to stay warm. They said, Lord, can you teach us how to pray? Lord, teach us what it means to pray. And I love it. James 5:17, one of my favorite scripture verses, talks about this. He says, Elijah was a man just like us, except for he prayed earnestly. Elijah was this prophet and saw miracles of the Lord, but it says that Elijah was just like you and me, but he prayed. Think about that. What separates us from the greatest prophets? Prayer. Isn't that crazy to think about? Matthew 6:6 says, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees you, what is done in secret, will reward you. What I love about that, it doesn't say, but if you pray. But it says, but when you pray. He's saying, this is just what you do when you pray. If you call yourself a Christian, what do you pray? So my question for this morning, just as we open this up, it says, what is prayer? I'm just going to give you the most simple, break it down, what is prayer? Prayer is conversation with God. There's no other way I can put this. Prayer is just conversation with God. And now think about your best conversations you've ever had. Now, if I were to ask you right now what some of your favorite conversations, you're going to tell them it's people that you're connected with, people you laugh with, people you share with, people who listen, but also people who share. Because we all have these conversations. You can have conversations with somebody where you just say, hey, how are you doing today? Pretty good. How are you doing? Pretty good. And we think, that's a pretty good conversation. I'm like, what? That's a greeting. That's not a conversation. You can have these other conversations where you go to somebody, unload, and say, I'm going through this. You're very transparent. You talk about, this is what I'm going through. Can you help me? And then you have that kind of conversation. Or maybe you have a conversation with your kids. Then there's another kind of conversation where there's a struggle between the both of you, and you have this open dialogue conversation saying, hey, I'm dealing with this. You hurt me doing this way. That's a totally deeper conversation. But every single day, we have different conversations that we're working through. But now look at this. I believe many people who call themselves Christians and say, oh, I have a prayer life. Your prayer life is more like a greeting prayer time. You're like, good morning, Lord. How are you doing? Pretty good. How are you doing? Pretty good. That's it. You know what I'm saying? That's awesome. And some of you are almost like this counseling prayer where it's like, Lord, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with this. That's good. And then you unload. And then as soon as you get done unloading, you're like, all right, see you tomorrow. I'll come back tomorrow. I'll punch a clock and you'll go back to it. And that's another kind of conversation. What I believe that God wants to take us to a place is not just that we can communicate through our words, but we can listen through our ears. I believe prayer is a conversation. It doesn't just mean that we're talking. It means that we're listening. God gave us one mouth and two ears for a reason, which means in every conversation, you should listen twice as much as that you're talking. Amen? And it's interesting to me because in our prayer times, here's my question for you. When was the last time you just said, Lord, how are you doing today? What's going on in your heart today? Lord, what do you want me to pray for? It's interesting because we're so fast to, Lord, give this response. I'll put it this way. I believe that we are designed to have relationship with God. I believe that's our design. We are designed to have relationship with God. God wants us to have conversations with him. But I'm going to put it this way. What if every single day when I talk to people, I tell them everything I like about my wife? I'd be like, we hang out and I'll tell you, I'm like, my wife is awesome. She's the best. She's the best mom ever. Her birthday's coming up. I have the best gift for her, and she takes care of me, and we take care of each other, and she's the best. But what if I spend all day talking about her, but I never spent any time talking to her? Now, it may appear that our relationship is healthy, but between her and I, it's not good. She can get mad at me and saying, why aren't we talking? Well, I talk a lot about you, but we don't talk. That's not a relationship. That's talking about a possible relationship. And I believe this is what we do spiritually, is that we can have conversations about the Lord without talking to the Lord. And that's where the misplaced starts coming in. It's interesting because, so what would be different if you went to God first like me and Nehemiah? Look at your own life. What would be different? If prayer was our first resort, not our last action. If before you sign a contract, before you decide with your family vacation, before you decide on a conversation you went to the Lord for, first, if your life being changed by this first. Next question is this. What would be different if prayer became normal in your life and your family? What if it became normal? Like, what if your prayer life just became normal? And I want you to put it this way. It's interesting because my parents were great at this. My parents literally prayed with us before we went to school, before we all went on family vacations, before we were, it just became normal in our day to life. Like, let's pray as a family. We're talking, and if we're going through something, time to pray. And like, in my family growing up, I know this is not normal, but prayer became normal. Prayer is something that we did. This is when we got married. This is like not just that we did. We wanted prayer to become normal with our own family. We wanted, and so I believe that as parents, we need to teach your kids the importance of prayer by praying with your family. You don't teach them by telling them. You teach them by showing them. It's interesting because it's great to pray. It's great to go to prayer meetings. It's great to do these things. It's great to pray for your kids. But can I tell you something different? Keep praying for your kids. But there's something different when you just don't pray for your kids, you pray with your kids. Like you just pray and you're teaching your kids what it means to have this prayer life. And my encouragement, maybe your next step this year is saying we need to have a more active prayer life. Not just pray before the meals, but pray before the decisions. Pray before the day starts. And so when we prayer needs to be in our family. When the kid calls home with a problem, we pray over the phone. When you're having marriage struggles, we pray together. When we add fasting and prayer to our life, we create space. And so we just need to be active in our prayer life. And I'm just going to wrap up in a few more minutes. I just got 3 points, and this is going to be fastest 3 points ever. Here it is. I believe in our lives, there are some dangerous prayers you can pray. There's things that I believe that we don't do, one, because we don't know how to, and two, if we know how to, we don't want to. There's three things I'm going to share. Number one is this, is that dangerous prayers is Lord, break me. This is like, Bill Hybels said it this way, you cannot grow as a Christian until you learn to ask for brokenness. Nehemiah got a burden for his community because when he started spending time in prayer and fasting, his heart began to break over the walls of his city. So here's my question for you. It says that Nehemiah began to weep and pray over his city. When was the last time God gave you a burden so great that you begin to weep and pray over it? Listen, this is a challenge for me as I speak this. When was the last time that your heart was so burdened for somebody, a neighbor, a coworker, where you work, your city, a friend, that when you began to pray for them, your heart was so moved, you begin to cry for them. I'm not just trying to build up emotion. I'm talking about like this burden. God breaks my heart. God break my heart. One of the things I wrote down was this, Lord, what breaks your heart? And then the question is, does it break mine? If the things that breaks the Lord's heart doesn't break your heart, my challenge for you is spend more time with him. Do we care what God thinks about? What if our prayer began to say, God, break my heart with the things that break yours? God, do something new in here. Lord, let me see people the way you see people. Can you imagine how dangerous that prayer is? Lord, let me see people the way you, not like the way I see them, not judgmental and comparing and, you know what I'm saying, why do they have this and I don't have this and they got that job, I didn't get this job, or, you know what I'm saying, my mom and dad love them more than they love me or any of that. But what if you begin to see people the way God sees people? God, break my heart. Number two is this. This is really sketchy and scary. Lord, search me. The verse that says in Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. Oh, isn't that just like, ugh. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Anybody, just when you just hear that phrase, go, please do not look inside this thing or this. Search, see if there's any offensive way in me. Am I offended by something? Am I angry? Am I holding bitterness? And lead me into the way everlasting. Think about that. What if our prayer in the morning was, God, search me. Test me. Know my heart. Know my anxious thoughts. Lord, what's in me that shouldn't be there? Do you see anything in me that might be unhealthy? Am I holding something? What am I fearing? Here's a big question. What am I not surrendering? You want to write something down, write that down. Lord, what are you asking me to surrender that I don't want to lay down? I keep on holding on. What in my closet am I hiding that I don't want to give to you? What in my past am I not bringing up because it's too touchy for me to touch? What in my life? Search me and know me. And some of us wonder, I just don't feel close to the God. And I wonder, hey, have you asked God to search your heart? No, I'm not going to do that. Because it's just that little pricks saying, do we want God to reveal these things and reveal the things I'm dealing with? What are others trying to tell me? What are some things I'm trying to, what am I, here's a question, what do I get defensive about? It's a big question. What do I feel, what brings me rage I don't want nobody to ask me about? My last one is this. Lord, send me, use me. Think about this. You go from, Lord, break my heart. Can I just tell you honestly, I preached this last year, I'm going to say it again. True vision comes from true burden. I don't want to have a vision for this community until God gives me a burden for the community. Amen? God, I want God, this burden leads to vision. And when God starts breaking your heart, then we do it for the right reasons. We do these things for the right reasons. And so, God, break my heart with the things that break your heart. And he says, God, search me. Lord, what's in my offended heart, in my defensive heart? And he says, what is going on? And then he says, Lord, send me and use me. What do you want me to do? Isaiah 6:8 says this, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he said, here am I, send me. Use me, Lord, this year in new ways. Help me to inspire change. I would love it. One of my favorite authors, Mark Batterson, says it this way. It's not about your church's seating capacity. It's about your church's sending capacity. What if you literally sent people? What if out of Watermark, the next 5 years, our goal was to send out 20 new missionaries? What if we started saying, let's just send people out? It's interesting because think about this in our own life. What's going to heal your marriage? Can I give you an answer? Prayer. What's going to heal your hurt? It's a pretty easy answer, but prayer. What's going to heal your family? Prayer. What's going to restore your heart? Prayer. What's going to put wind back in your sails and passion your faith? Prayer. Because we need to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you surrender, more begins to happen. If you can turn the TV on, that would be great. Think about this. Anybody remember having rabbit ears growing up? Maybe you still have them in your house right now. Anybody still have them? Now, here's how it works. If you don't, in our digital age, we don't have a lot of these anymore. But you would take this little thing, plug it into your TV, and it's called UHF. Anybody ever know what UHF is? And then you would take, if you're like me, I remember going to my grandparents' house, and it didn't work very good. And we would take, tinfoil and put it around and get a better, anybody else ever did that? And literally you're just trying to sandwich this around and try to make a better signal. And so you plug this in to the TV and literally, I remember the air why we watch football. Anybody else ever did that too? Like, go stand outside and hold this so we get a better signal. And this is what would happen. You would have a screen and then you'd turn the dials and then you would wave this around to get a better signal. And then once you start getting a channel, then you stop right there. Once you start feeling it connected to a source, you're saying, we got it. Stop. Right? This is what began to happen. And because without a signal, you don't get any reception. Because it's interesting, this itself did not send out anything. This plugged in and received. This didn't create power. This really doesn't do anything. This receives a signal and puts it onto a screen. That's what this does. Do you guys all make sense? This is what I believe happens to us in our spiritual life. We plug this in, and you can say all day long, what does this mean? I believe this is what happens when we get ourselves away and begin to fast and pray. Because in our life, we are consumed by the white noise. Worship team, you guys can come up here. We are consumed by the white noise. This fuzzy, crazy sound that always, if you can go back to that video for a second. I want you to picture this. This is what most of our spiritual lives can be all the time. We have stuff going on. We're busy. We're consumed. We're just fuzzy. And you're thinking, I don't hear God. I don't get a reception. I don't know what's on my screen anymore. I get power, but I don't get no picture. I know we're connected, and we got power, but I don't see anything. And you're wondering, why don't I see anything? Why don't I see nothing on my screen? Why is it when I read scripture, it doesn't become alive to me? Why is it when people talk about their testimony, I hear it and I want it, but I don't have it? Why is it when I hear something, I go, I want to be connected too, but I'm not there? And they were saying, but why, does God love me differently? Does God not love me as much as he loves this person? This person's seeing visions. I don't even get TV reception. Like, I just don't feel like I'm connected. And here's my answer. You want to hear my simple answer? Do you really spend time with the Lord? Do you really just say, hey, God, I'm gonna unplug from this other stuff. And I'm going I'm gonna get with you. I'm gonna sacrifice this other stuff. Because you know why? Because I want you more than this other stuff. We need to be people who say, I want you more than this stuff. I want you more than this. Can I just be honest with you? My greatest moments in faith is when I sacrifice the most. Sometimes it might have been relationships. Sometimes it might have been, you know, I'm saying, trust, a step of faith, whatever it may be. But it's when I surrendered, and this is what I love awesome. You plug in and you just say, God, I just need to connect with you. And it's amazing because I believe the cross, because of Jesus, made a way for us to get better reception. That's what's amazing about it. Saying, and God is saying, listen, I wanna speak to you. You know, I read a scripture verse this past week. I've heard it before, but it did something different to me. It says in the Old Testament that the Lord not only wants to speak to you, but he has secrets for you that have never been revealed yet. I don't know what that does for you, but you know the Lord wants just to tell you things only you know? You don't have to share them. My wife and I know things about each other that nobody else knows about, you know what I'm saying? And it makes us even more intimate, right? Like, the Lord wants to speak to you. The Lord desires, not a have to, he desires to have relationship with, and I know for some of you are like, this is weird. Yeah, it is kind of a little weird, but it's awesome. Because when you're going through your day and you're not sure what's going on and you get away, you park your car, you go for a walk and say, God, I'm about ready to go home, but I need you before I go home. And God starts filling you up and starts speaking to you and bringing life to you. It's like when you pull over, you take a shower, you get your Bible out, you start reading, you start praying, and all of a sudden your antenna starts going up and all of a sudden there begins to have a signal. And you're like, God, I feel you in a different way. God, I connect with you in a different way. Listen, I believe with all my heart, it's not a magical thing. It's just one of those things because I believe that God wants to speak to you, not just in a wind, but in a whisper, which means you have to be quiet. You have to shut it down sometimes. You have to get away, and you have to listen. You have to train your eye. You got to listen. You have to go close. You have to look for the signal, and you have to listen. So we're going to do something a little bit different today, which is almost the same as last week. So everybody can stand up this morning. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. One, if you're here this morning and you're saying to me that you've never even started a relationship with the Lord and you're saying, I want today to be a new day and I want to start a relationship with the Lord this morning. No one's looking around except for the prayer team and staff, but if you're here this morning and you want to start a new relationship with the Lord and be fresh and new and make him the Lord of your life, if you could just raise your hand, and prayer people can just be watching too. I see that hand. Staff, be watching a little bit. Just raise them up really, really high if you can, just so we can see. We don't want to miss you. We don't want to miss you this morning. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Someone's going to come pray with you and they're going to speak life into you. Let's pray together. Lord, everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Help me to hear from you. Holy Spirit, fill me up. In Jesus' name. Amen. I always tell people it's not the finishing point, it's the starting point. So if you raise your hands today, we just want to give you a hug and talk with you. We just want to love on you. Everybody else, last week I had you come up and I had you write your names, your old identity, and then what God speaks. So hopefully you still have that in your Bible. I put pens and paper up here. I put some in the back too. Here's what I want you to do today. If you don't feel comfortable with this, listen, we're not going to force you to do anything. But I do believe this is important. Here's the reason why. I have these cards that have 5 friend focus. Maybe you got in your bulletin. I want us this year to be praying for people that God has put in our life. So what I want us to do, if you have that card, that's awesome, fill it out. But I want all of us to grab 2 cards and a pen. Grab 2 cards and a pen. 1 card, you're just going to pray, and God has given you a burden. Who is not walking in faith in your life? Who are you praying for? Who in your life you just believe God wants to do a new connection with, that you feel maybe there's a prodigal son or daughter, maybe it's a coworker, maybe, I'm telling you, here's the truth about it. If it's somebody you said in your heart, they would never, ever come to church, that's probably who you need to pray for. And here's what I want you to do. Just, it might be more than five, but I just want you to write down those five names. Write down five names. And maybe at the bottom, just write down prayers and miracles I'm praying for. Other ones. The reason I want you to take two is because I want you to fill out one for yourself. Then I want you to fill out another one. Here's the reason why. You don't need to put your name on it. And then when you're done filling the second one, I want you to put it by the cross. Because here's my vow. I'm going to pray with you. As I walk around the city and pray, I'm going to have these in my pocket. And I'm just going to, if you put down Jim Bob, I'm going to say, God, I pray for Jim Bob today. I don't know who this person is, but you run down and we're going to pray for them. Because I believe as a church, I want you to know that we're going to stand behind you and believe in miracles. Amen. And I believe, I want as we come to the end of this year saying, I would never believe this is possible, but this is what God did this year. Because I believe this is a year of testimonies. This is a year of change. This is a year of transformation. Amen. And so as they begin to do worship, I just want you to come up here, go to the front, two sheets. Grab one for yourself and put